All right, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Been a fun morning talking about the Louisa Rise deal and, you know, getting ourselves worked into a tizzy about the upcoming games this week. But that is really what baseball is all about. I saw a tweet over the weekend that really summed it up for me, and I retweeted it from my account. It really made a lot of sense. Baseball fandom. This is from Max Manis. Baseball fandom is just willingness to commit to alternating between the season is over and we are so incredibly back on a nightly basis for 6 months. It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. I this team looked dead in the water a week ago, much, much better now. And that's just the way it goes. And I love that. I love that about this game of baseball. I love that there's a game today. You know, you lost yesterday. I love that there's a game today. As challenging as Justin Steele and the Cubs will be, I love that you get another chance because anything can happen. Football, excruciating. Excruciating, right? Waiting 6 more days, 7 days for another game. It's just the worst. You lose, and you got that sour taste in your mouth the entire week. It's one of my favorite things. I love the almost everyday immediacy of baseball. I love living and dying with every single pitch.
And we're not going to change.
No, I'm not going to change.
I saw some season is over tweets from Giants fans, or I guess the Giants just aren't very good this year. Maybe they aren't. Or maybe they'll figure it out at some point. I mean, they have some good players.
They got good pitching.
The Diamondbacks, like, you know, they've had some injuries, but they went to the World Series last year. They did not look very good. They have not looked very good this season for the most part. But I can't say that their season's done yet either. By the way, right now, 500 would be in the playoffs in the National League.
No doubt.
The Washington Nationals currently hold the third and final wild card spot at 17-17, half a game ahead of the Padres.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a long way to go, and everybody's still in it right now, other than maybe the Marlins in the National League.
Yeah, that's
and the
exactly.
Rockies. But everybody else is in it.
It's exactly right, and I love it. Can't wait for 440 today. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And I got a doozy for you guys that happened over the weekend. And, you think you have your wife maybe figured out after being together for 10 years, and then you realize, clearly I know nothing. I know nothing about women as a whole, my wife, who I'm married, mother of my children. So she signed up to do a half marathon. That's 13.1 miles. So she's been training for that. Very proud of her. She's such a diligent, puts her head down and just accomplishes things. It's remarkable. Her discipline is, they should write books about it. So she says to me, my half marathon is on a Sunday. What time is your baseball game that day? I said, it's a late game, 3:30, which is a late start for us.
So usually marathons are early in the day.
Yeah, they run early. They'll be done, all wrapped up by 9 a.m. So I got plenty of time, you know, whatever, watch the kids. And I said, why do you ask? And she said, well, what are you planning? And I said, for what?
Oh, you got to plan the whole day.
So she said, for the post-race. And I go, You want me to plan something? And she said, yeah. And I go, oh okay, no problem. What would you like to do? And she's like, you really weren't going to plan anything? I'm like, because you went for a run? All right. I didn't know. Like, I was going to be here watching the kids. And yeah, like, you come home, what would you like me to do?
Oh, no.
And she was very disappointed. And she said, I go, babe, like, she goes, oh, is it because you have a baseball game? I go, no, I'll check the schedule, but I'm pretty sure it's a late game. And I said, hey, it is a late game. And I said, the guy called me. We have so many makeups because of the rain. He asked if we could play on Mother's Day. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not playing on Mother's Day. Are you trying to get me killed? You know what she says to me? This is the doozy. I would have rather you played on Mother's Day than my race day. I go, excuse me? She goes, yeah. I go, you're joking. And she said, no. I would have rather you played baseball on Mother's Day with your friends than on my race day. And I went, it's back to the drawing board for your old pal Woods here. I was flabbergasted. So
that surprises me.
So
I'm not surprised about
this is an interesting
I'm
one.
Not surprised about her expecting something planned on race
You're
day.
Not
that
surprised.
Is, no, that is a very common thing. I'm surprised. Like normally, I would have expected you to take the kids and watch the race.
So she said no. Don't Don't drag them downtown and make them stand
That's
there
fair.
For how long does it take?
She doesn't want to see their smiling faces as she goes by for a little extra motivation. I think you should be there.
Shut your
stake
pie
out
hole.
A spot early, like 5:30
like 2 hours.
Yeah,
a little over 2.5 hours.
So me. A 6-year-old and a 3-year-old standing there. Is that mom? No. 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 Mama? No. No.
They know what
No.
They all look the same when they're running.
You forget my 6-year-old wanted to leave Disneyland. He's going to go down and stand downtown and be like, cool, this is awesome, killer, awesome. Oh, cool, people are running. So I'm in the chamber.
But it is very common for a big brunch or something to be planned for after the race. They've been training so hard, watching what they eat, and now it's time to unload.
That I can help with. But fine. Okay, I'll give you that. But the I'd rather be celebrated for my jog
That's
than Mother's Day is it put me right back to square one with this woman.
So, yeah, this one's a dilemma for me because there's no doubt that the training that goes into a half marathon or a marathon, the work that goes into it is worth celebrating if you accomplish it. But at the same time, it's very much an optional activity that no one is forcing you to do. So you've chosen to take your free time and use it on this. And that was her choice, that she wanted to run this race and do this race. And she should deserve a lot of praise for it.
Well, it's optional to go get your master's, but that's still worth celebrating afterwards.
It's optional to play Tier 1 baseball. But you go out, you practice, you work hard.
Do you see her in the stands on Sundays, Paulie?
Or should you be celebrated after the games?
No.
At maybe, you know,
no.
With a special, like you win, you should have something special that she sets up for. You don't expect anything special after your Sunday activities.
You know, the only thing I expect is that I don't get murdered when I walk in for being gone for 5 hours.
Yeah, when I go play golf, you know, on a Saturday morning, it's how I choose to spend my free time in the morning. I don't expect to then be honored and
praised,
celebrated.
Because you got a birdie
No
or
matter
two.
How good I play or if I finish.
I shot a 69. That's fantastic.
Finish the 18 holes.
Go scrub the shower.
I don't expect celebration afterwards.
Oh, she doesn't like it when I call it her jog, by the way. She's not happy about her jog. That was a shot. I'll admit, that was a shot. Her jog.
I mean, you got to pace yourself, though. You can't just sprint all out.
But again, so she says, I could call my commissioner and go, you know what? Turns out we will play on Mother's Day. She's good. If I disappear at 7 o'clock in the morning on Mother's Day to go play a 9 o'clock game, come back at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, exhausted, worn out, and be like, all right, cool, happy Mother. She'll murder me. She'll murder me. Right? I have to go big. So now what happens is now I'm doing double planning. I'm doing Mother's Day planning and I'm doing jog planning. Long jog planning.
Half marathon planning.
I just don't know what to do. I don't know, I don't know the answers to this.
You should actually look forward to planning things because you love your wife so much that you wish there were more things you could plan and celebrate her for.
That's one take. But I'd rather be celebrated for this than... I'll tell you this. There's nothing that I do in the world that would take precedent for me over Father's Day. Nothing. Like, if I... Whatever. Nothing. There's nothing. Like, you better celebrate me on Father's Day. It's my favorite day of the year, right? Sit on your ass, do nothing, get catered to, the one out of 365. I'm in on it. And I wanted to give that to you. And you told me that one's not important, but me going jogging with my friends is more important, and I want you to roll out the red carpet.
What do you think they did for those Kentucky Derby horses that ran on Saturday?
Nothing.
I mean, they trained long time for that race.
They gave them oats.
They sprinted.
And they put them back in their cage and drove them to the next one.
You give Hannah some oats? Oatmeal?
This is crazy, man. Crazy.
Feed her well and
Hannah says Mother's
brush
Day,
her mane.
Mother's
could,
Day
you,
is...
You'd brush her mane.
I will brush her mane. She says Mother's Day is for my children. Yeah. And like, What, are they going to plan a brunch and pay for it? No, I am doing it. This is stupid, dude. I'm telling you. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, clearly. Clearly, I have no idea. I mean, enjoy the jog. I guess I'll drag them down there, and we'll watch you jog and run, and then we'll...
What day's the half marathon?
Like, on a Sunday? A couple weeks?
It's always very early on Sundays.
Yeah, B Right Out says, when's the last time you ran a half marathon? What's... I'm not insane. I know not to do that. I know not to do a half marathon. I can't even do a 5K. With a gun into my head, I could not run a 5K. I'm not kidding. I'm not a distance runner. So I wouldn't expect to be... I don't expect to be celebrated for adult ball and things like that, like you just said. Also, Polly, you ever see her face in the stands out on Sundays? No, I get it. I get it. I give her that pass as much as I would want. Yeah, she came to pick up the kids that I had taken there. That's why she came. I don't expect it, but she does. Now, I'm certainly not going to trade Father's Day for it. I don't want you to this game. I want you taking notes. I want you watching every pitch. Never. Never. So I don't know what to do.
I think she's putting more effort into her half marathon than we put into a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean that's not debatable, really. She's training hard for it. I just don't.
I assume that when she's training, you're probably watching the kids.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're helping.
Like,
her
if she
out
didn't
in
say anything,
way.
You would just expect her to leave in the morning,
go
to the
run
race,
her race, come home. How did it go? It went good. Great. Congratulations.
I'm very proud of you.
Much like what happens when I walked in yesterday. How did you guys say? We lost 6-1. Bummer. You know, we played well. You know.
Are you supposed to eat the carbs before or after or both?
I have no idea. I'm not a runner.
That would be the only part of running I would like. The carb loading.
Is she calling in? Oh, I thought somebody said she was on the other line. I'm like, how would you know? You're in the chat. No, I mean, I'm going to celebrate both. We'll go big. I thought it was an interesting, the choice that she made. That's the interesting part to me. So, like, I'm not off the hook for Mother's Day. I still have to go big for this. But by her telling me, oh, I'd rather have that be celebrated, that was the weird part to me. Don't you agree?
That surprised me.
Surprised.
Yeah.
I think both are celebratory
days. She says the kids are in bed when she's training, but nice try. Yeah, who's there supervising them? I am. If something happens, she is going to murder me when I get home. Oh, well. I mean, I thought I'd bring it up. I thought it was interesting. So, if anybody knows any giant tent rentals or, you know, could rent out an arena or something for this jog, and we'll celebrate it and we'll do it right. And then also, I'm going to need a place for Mother's
sound
Day.
Sound space here at
maybe the sound
Odyssey?
Space? Yeah, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, get everybody up here. All right. Well, there's that. Thanks for all of your advice, fellas. You really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I don't
here.
Think we really helped you at all with
I
your
told
dilemma.
You that you absolutely need to have a meal, a brunch, or something planned after.
Paul, you actually make us look bad all the time.
Yeah.
You're a very good husband,
yes.
Probably better than either of the two of us. So just pipe down over there. You make things worse for the two of us.
Yeah, it's definitely make it worse. I was going to do something big on Mother's Day. Guess I won't now. Since it's not important. People tell me I'm digging my own grave. Quality time, she says she wants. Okay. Got you. I got you. Interesting topic.
All right. We're going to take a little time out. We're going to digest what you just heard. We'll come back. I would like to hear from some Padres fans with your thoughts on the Luis Arias trade. For the most part, it seems like the general consensus is both teams did fairly well in the trade. Do you agree with that sentiment that the Marlins did
no.
what they had to do and the Padres did
like,
well?
Who's saying that?
I just saw Jim Bowden this morning in the Athletic go, hey, I thought it was a win for both teams in the trade.
Nice.
So Keith Law was not that high on it for the San Diego Padres.
Shocker.
Thought that the Marlins did much better. Saw other people say, I think the Marlins could have gotten more. There's a lot of mixed opinion on this trade. Curious to hear what the Tier 1s have to say. 833-288-0973. You can join us coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Got Sammy Levitt coming up in just over 10 minutes to talk some Padres baseball. If you want to give us your thoughts on the Luis Arraez trade and how the Padres made out, 833-288-0973. Ben Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Seems like the general consensus has been pretty positive about the Luis Arraez trade. And from a baseball fan perspective, I don't see why not. He's fun to watch. He's going to be on base. He's going to be doing good things at the top of the Padres order. He lengthens the lineup. I guess we'll never know. I mean, if Jacob Marcy and Dylan Head turn out to be all-stars someday, it's probably not a good trade. You're getting the rest of this season, and you're getting next season of Luis Arraez. And then he's a free agent. So, you know, not even as long as you had Juan Soto for, essentially. You're going to have to give him up, unless you want to sign him to a long-term contract extension, and that is going to be expensive. It's the reason why the Marlins were looking at trading him, because they weren't probably likely going to be able to afford him to a long-term extension. So,
well, and when your GM comes out and says, we're not making the playoffs this year, and they're 30 games in, I mean, yeah, the writing was on the wall. Certainly for the Miami Marlins.
But ultimately, A.J. Preller's put himself in this mode where they both have to pull back on the payroll, yet try to compete with the stars they've put on the field. And for the tightrope that he has created for himself, and it is a, you know, over the Grand Canyon kind of thing. How do you both save money and be aggressively acquiring players at the same time? It's impossible, right? He's actually done it. You know, he had to let go of the Cy Young Award winner, the probably best player in baseball so far this season in Juan Soto in the offseason. Yet, he acquired Dylan Cease. He's acquired Luis Arraez. He's put a team on the field that has been at least competitive through the first month plus of the season. He's still walking that tightrope. He has not fallen off yet. He could fall off either way.
Could fall off at any time?
At any time and lose his job. But right now, he remains perched on that tightrope trying to get by. What are your thoughts? Let's go out to the phones for a couple of minutes here before Sammy joins us. We got Rafael calling in this morning with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Rafael.
Hey, guys, good morning. Been a long minute since the Christmas extravaganza, but yeah, on Friday, a family member called me up out of the blue, just randomly. He goes, hey, did you hear what the Padres did? No. He goes, yeah, they got some guy named Arraez, and I took it with a grain of salt because I'm like, this guy's always, you know, comes up with some crazy ideas. So just out of curiosity, I did some searching. I'm like, at first, I was like, this has got to be a joke. I'm like, what is Preller doing? And when I realized, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then just like Polly said this morning, we got this guy for pennies on a dollar. I'm like, we gave up these guys, but, you know, Marlins are pretty much paying his entire salary and we're only paying this much. I was shocked. I was like literally shocked. And then, Steve, you got my message yesterday morning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I sent you. I was like, Friday was like, wow, what, you know, like, wow, okay, they kicked butt. Saturday, they just exploded with, you know, Arraez just starting off. I'm like, what in God's name happened last night? And then I said, hey, I'm going to wait for the morning show today to kind of like, you know, divulge on what you guys are going to say about it. But honestly, this was probably one of the best acquisitions that Pro did. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. You know, Soto was great and all that, but, you know, we got him late, you know, in the middle of the season, but we got Arraez a little earlier. I think I like this trade better than Soto. Don't get me wrong, Soto's a great guy. He's doing great with the Yankees, but I got a really good feeling about this trade, this acquisition, and the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a good call, and I feel the same way. And the Soto deal was just such a blockbuster. And, you know, you see what C.J. Abrams has been able to do this year. The reports about James Wood, you know, he could be a superstar in this league. You know, you had
McKenzie
a shot.
Gore's been pretty solid as well.
He got roughed up yesterday. I mean, it's going to happen. It happens to the best of them. But I liked Kyle Glazer's tweet about this the other night when it came out. Kyle, who we all love and respect in here, Kyle said, this is a very, very good deal. This is before, by the way, the money. This is before the money, where they're paying all of Arraez's salary, but $600,000.
So that makes it, whatever Kyle's about to say, even better.
Yeah. So this is a very, very good deal for the Padres. Head gets Cedric Mullins comps, was very far away as a teenager in low A. Martorella and Marcy project to be complementary players, and Go failed to make the Padres bullpen out of camp. Great deal for an elite pure hitter. And he follows up to say, the Marlins front office is going to be higher on Martorella and Marcy as an analytically driven group. Time will tell if they're right, but scouts have consistently viewed them as complementary types rather than true everyday players. And I think the same was said about, you know, Dylan Head. He mentioned that in the first tweet of he could be Cedric Mullins. He's a teenager right now. And you may miss him in the year 2029. You're not going to miss him in the year 2024, the year 2025, probably the year 2026. But to get a rise for, you know, to try to, again, hang around and make the playoffs is absolutely a great move. Then you factor in that they paid down his salary this year. Like,
what I don't understand from the Marlins' perspective is why didn't they hold out for more?
Correct.
It's not as though the price tag was going to drop in a couple of weeks. You know, I see why A.J. Preller was aggressive early. Says having a rise for most of this season is way better than just having him for the last 2 months
right.
after the trade deadline. You get more usage out of him. He can have a bigger impact on your club. It makes more sense for the Padres to trade early. For the Marlins, though, you may have gotten more teams involved if you waited a few weeks. You may have gotten the bidding process going up, maybe more prospects involved, less money involved. I don't totally understand why the Marlins just raced to make this deal. It wasn't such a good deal that they go, we have to do it.
And how long has he been behind the desk? Two months?
Peter Bendix?
Yeah.
I have to credit AJ with maybe the negotiating skills here. And I don't know if there was a, this is my best offer. If you don't take it now, I'm going and looking at other options, and it's, you know, like off the table. If there was like an ultimatum given to the Marlins and not a, well, you know, if you change your mind, you know, call us again. We're just going to be waiting for you to make an answer. I've got to think that AJ applied a little bit of pressure here going,
well,
and this is a good deal. If you want it, take it. If not, I have to move on and go to, on something else. I'm offering these guys to other teams. Because I don't know why otherwise the Marlins would have jumped at this at the time that they did. They didn't have to, and good for the Padres for getting it done.
Well, it's a phone call that says, yeah, okay, fine. Pay down some money. We'll throw in a better prospect, too, in Jacob Marcy, because he was kind of the late addition to the deal. You're going to pay this down. Hey, man, I got moves to make. We are looking for X. You have him. If you don't accept this deal, I have to go elsewhere, Peter. I have to. This is five.
You may want to be patient. We're not.
We can't be. We are not in the position to be patient. If you wait till the deadline, the value could drop. You need to pull the trigger here. I mean, yeah, it's you're talking about a seasoned GM against a guy that's been there for 3 weeks. You know, and in my opinion, rarely do I think that Preller fleeces somebody on a deal. This one, in my opinion, is a fleece, especially when you start reading about guys being complimentary type pieces. And you're like, okay, those are your headliners? Done. And the money, you cannot discount that. We still have flexibility to make moves.
It is very easy to fall into, I think it's a bit of a trap. Like we
it's
are
a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap.
I forgot about the
Admiral Akbar.
Last week. As Padre fans, we get the prospect rankings and the farm system rankings waved in front of us pretty much all year round, every single year. Preller is the best at restocking the farm system, and we fall in love with these prospects. And just because somebody may be a top 10 or a top 15 prospect in the Padres organization, that doesn't mean they're a top 10 or 15 prospect in baseball. Like, Ethan Salas is, like, at least the one guy that if he's involved in a trade, you're like, oh, man, what did we get in return? Like, yeah. That one might hurt us.
What did we get? 6 years of control for a fireballing starter? Like, all right, I'll take a listen. But no,
it's a guy like Marcy was a marginal prospect to begin with, but because we had so much need in our outfield, we're like, hey, this guy could be great. Like, right. We could use him. But now ultimately, he is what he is.
And also, I mean, remember, Jackson Merrill's come in and cemented his position as the center fielder of the future.
Made a big difference, I think, in this trade.
For dirt cheap, and he's good, and we love him. And he's going to be here a long time.
There's still not a lot of spot to move him back to the infield. Right. Even if Ha-Sung Kim goes, you still have Xander Bogaerts forever.
Correct.
You've got Tatis. You've got a lot of options there. Correct. So I like just quickly in the chat, Dead Meow 5 says Ben giving AJ too much credit. I like Grace, though. It was just to get AJ to shut up and stop calling, surely. Yeah. There might be some of that to AJ's persistence paying off at some point.
Dead Meow 5 is a big Dodger fan. So when I saw the Dodger fans coming out of the woodwork to crap on Luis Arraez, I knew it was a good deal. That's how I know it's a good deal.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. Sammy Leavitt, in-season Sammy, will join us. He's got some thoughts, I'm sure, on the trade and the weekend that was in Arizona, our weekly conversation. Coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Loving that we can now get Sam Leavitt on the YouTube stream for the pre- and the post-game show. You got your Eco Water SoCal pre-game show coming up at 3:40 today. Padres and Cubs, 4:40 first pitch from Wrigley Field, the hallowed grounds. I've been to Wrigley, and Woods, I know you've been to Wrigley. Paulie, you're going to ever been to Wrigley Field?
No, I have not been to Chicago at all. Yeah. It's top of the list.
Definitely.
Cities around the country I'd love to visit.
Yeah, definitely a bucket list type ballpark to visit. Sammy's got the pregame show for you later. We'll talk with Sammy Leavitt right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. On your way to work, want to keep listening to us even after you park your car? You can do so with the Odyssey app, odyssey.com. Just download the app, visit us, search 97.3 The Fan, click on our show, download the Odyssey app today to get started. And we are joined right now by one of the hardest working men in radio baseball world. It is Sam Leavitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. Greetings from Pacific Beach. And one conversation topic I would really like to hear on an upcoming show, maybe during a foreplay. Have you ever had a good breakfast scone? I don't know about you. I've never had a great scone. I
was scones thinking don't about exist. Getting a no. Good
no,
scones don't
yeah,
exist.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-mm. Okay.
I got an idea.
Good to know. I'm with you.
Grab yourself. Go into your pantry. Get the biggest spoon you have. Dig it deep, deep, deep into your bag of flour. Then sprinkle some blueberries on top, wolf the whole thing down, and you've just eaten yourself a breakfast.
You guys have not gone to a really good pastry place because a good scone.
I've been to England. I've been to Paris.
A good scone is delicious. It's not as sweet as some of the other pastries. If you're just looking for a sweet pastry, don't get the scone. But if you're looking for like some buttery crumbliness, it is delicious.
It doesn't exist.
It's better with a little coffee or a tea, perhaps.
Nope.
Like they eat it in England, but I am a fan of scones.
I've been to England. The scones there were terrible.
It's you just don't like scones.
Floury.
No, you just don't like scones.
Oh, here's what you do. Wad up 6 pieces of Wonder Bread. Sprinkle some sugar on top. Jam some blueberries in there. Shove that whole thing in your mouth, and that's what you get. You get a scone, okay? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Why get scones when you can get a croissant or a biscuit? That's my motto.
All right, let's move from scone talk to baseball talk. So what was the timeline like on Friday in terms of the game, your show, and the trade news coming down, Sammy?
Never a dull moment, Sammy.
No, never a dull moment with the Padres and A.J. Preller. They do keep it interesting. The timeline for me on Friday was I had the news broken to me by Jesse and Tony. Jesse and Tony talked about it on the air right before the game started. The news came down during that 10-12 minutes between my pregame show and the game starting. So actually the first time I heard of it was actually from Jesse on the air as that broadcast started. And then obviously the reports came down on social media and all that, and we were following it. So, yeah, I kind of found out right with everybody else and found out live on the air. And I think Jesse and Tony broke it to a lot of people because of the odd timing of it on a Friday night on May 3rd of all times to make a trade like that.
It was amazing. I mean, it happened right before the Seals game, Sammy, and I was a wreck. I mean, my phone was going crazy. The Seals game's about to start, playoff game, and I'm a wreck. And I'm looking at this thing, and of course, you know, like we always say, you get the big guy, Arise coming back, and then you got to wait to see what the return was. And then you saw the return trickle in, and then Marcy was added later, and that's all one component. You're like, oh, okay, well, right. There's a few players going back. Oh, I can't believe he got rid of Woosuck Go. And wow, good for him. And then the news comes in that the Marlins paid down, you know, his salary for the year. And that, to me, is really what put it over the edge. I was really stoked on it before.
Yeah.
Then you realize you're paying Luis Arraez $600,000 to play for you this year. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. And I think Peter Bendick's just got a nice little warm welcome to the big leagues from A.J. Preller. That's legitimately how I feel. Arraez could go 0 for his next 12. I'm still going to feel that way because the guy's been unreal.
Yeah, I really like the trade all the way around for all the reasons you mentioned. I think, number one, focus on the player the Padres are getting and the fit he is in that lineup in particular, somebody that you can bat lead off that solves on most days the DH problem, obviously can play second base, can play some first base as well, so you can play him in the field. But I think on most days, we'll likely, when Manny's playing third base each and every day, is going to be this team's DH. And that was going to be a problem and a question that needed to be answered once Manny took that third base spot mostly every day. And this really answers it. And obviously you can cycle other guys through there. So it answers that question. From a fit in the lineup perspective, he's somebody we know what we're getting, right? I mean, somebody who's going to hit in the 300s in all likelihood, get on base, and as long as the guys behind him do what they're supposed to do, I think lengthens this lineup and creates more runs for this lineup, no doubt about it. And I think in the bigger picture of the trade on who they gave up, the Padres give up talent, of course. Okay, Dylan Head is young, but obviously has a tremendous skill set and was a first-round pick for a reason a year ago. Marcy, somebody they were high on, as we know, gave him a look during spring training. Martorella could end up being a pretty good major leaguer. And, you know, the fact that AJ was able to attach Usucco and the contract to this deal, I thought was, you know, a really important part of it. And obviously the other side of the other financial part of it. When I heard that, I think Alden Gonzalez of ESPN was the first one to report on it, that the Marlins were going to pay the bulk of the salary. I halfway couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, wow, so they ended up getting a player like Arise and somehow reducing payroll and not taking on significant money at all. And it frees them up to make additional moves if they are in contention, and still gives them an avenue to improve this team. So, you know, look, I think, and I was talking about it on a podcast yesterday, I think for a lot of people that looked at the Padres in the offseason and saw them trade Soto, saw them reduce payroll the way they did, they then look at the moves to first acquire Cease and then Arise and say, well, what are the Padres doing? Which direction are they going? Are they promoting from within? Are they, you know, building through their farm? You know, or are they still spending money? Are they still, quote unquote, going for it? And I think you can do those two things simultaneously. Yeah. AJ Preller, to his credit, has built a system, rebuilt a system, where you have the luxury to make a move like this, but still maintain top of the line position playing prospects, and you didn't touch your pitching prospects, which you may need here in the not too distant future. So, you know, to have the ability to do that, to continue building through the farm, not totally gut your system, but also acknowledge that because of the money you've spent, because of the stars that are here and the potential of this current group, if you can just get there into the dance, what you could do, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal. And I think the moves for Cease and now Arise continue to do that. And no doubt they are a better team and offense with Arise than they were before. So all the way around, I really, really liked it. I did.
Talking to Sammy Levitt, and the trade also led to a viral moment on social media. When Padres prospect Nathan Martorella was actually on second base for the San Antonio Missions when the trade kind of came down officially and had to be confusedly removed from the game. Now, Sammy, you've called a lot of minor league games. How often were you involved in like hug watches and when guys were actually pulled from the field because they were being sent to a different team's minor league organization like that?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Now, I didn't have an experience like my friend Steven Davis did, and I the San Antonio Missions broadcast crew as well. They were on the road, and I actually got to know one of their I know both of their broadcasters there. I haven't really talked to them about it, but the home broadcaster in Little Rock, Steven Davis, is somebody I know really well. I haven't quite talked to him at length about it, but Steven, I thought, did a great job sort of describing what was going on. And what a surreal video, right? I mean, you could tell Martorella had no idea what was going on. I've seen a couple of those things, not quite as dramatic and as a viral worthy as that. I mean, I'm thinking about like when I was in Corpus Christi in 2017, I think, when the Astros made the trade for Justin Verlander, the first one, before they won the World Series. Or was that 2018? I can't remember now. But when they made the initial trade for Verlander, there were a couple of guys from that Corpus Christi team that went to Detroit. And one of them was a pitcher that we had at the time. But again, it wasn't as dramatic as like it was during the game. That was more during the day. I saw the other side of it, you know, when the Padres made the trade with and they acquired Taylor Trammell. And Trammell came over, and he was immediately one of the team's top prospects. I remember, you know, Trammell showing up to Amarillo and being inserted into the lineup that night. And you know, kind of, I remember talking to Taylor initially, and you know, the only organization he had ever known was the Reds, and kind of, you know, how surreal that was for him at the time. And so I remember stuff like that, but I, you know, I've seen a little bit of it, but nothing as dramatic as literally pulling a guy off second base. So yeah, that was. You know, hey, I'm for those guys. Look, it's tough in the moment, but I think no doubt, you know, in the grand scheme of their careers, hey, they got a better chance of probably making the major leagues and sticking there with the Marlins than they do the Padres right now. So for them, it ultimately, I think, is a pretty good thing for those guys.
Sammy, I want to go back to Arise too, because I. When you mentioned all the prospects that the Padres still have, I'm looking at their prospect rankings right now, and you still have Ethan Salas, Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko, Leodalis DeVries, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, still a prospect. Yeah. I mean, again, Ryan Burgert, Homer Bush Jr., Randy Vasquez. I mean, these are all names you're hearing a lot. Some of these guys could potentially help you this season. Jackson Wolf, another guy they reacquired, Alec Jacob. I mean, these are all names we know. These are not like single A guys that aren't going to be able to help this year. What I really like the most about this deal, and I saw somebody make this point on Twitter, Luis Arraez, you can't add him to every team and him help. He is it's a good fit here in particular for what we were looking for. And also, like you heard Profar, as Ben mentioned earlier, Profar was so happy. He's like, good, I love hitting fifth. This is great. Yeah. Like it's the first time ever when guys have come in and said, no, this is great. I'm happy for this. You don't get the sense
we'll make it work.
We'll figure it out.
They're like genuinely like, this is perfect, what we needed.
It didn't feel like you're jamming a square peg in a round hole, as so many trades, not only with the Padres, but so many trades with other teams do. You're like, did you need him? Where is he going to play? How's he going to do that?
Right.
Are you going to stick him out in left and see how it works? I mean, we had Adam Frazier out there playing left field at one point. That one didn't make sense. There were so many that have happened that didn't. This one just makes sense. Now, he's got to do his job, and his job is to hit and get on base. It puts pressure on Tatis and Manny and Crony and those guys. They've got to drive him in. I mean, but it's such a good fit here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, on a team, let's say, where they didn't have as much power in the lineup, as much pop, then you might look at it and say, well, how much better does this really make
Correct.
You from a run-producing standpoint? But the Padres have that. And if the guys do what they're supposed to do, the guys in the middle of that lineup, no doubt having a rise in front with the bat-to-ball skills he has, the ability to get on base, it lengthens the lineup, and he should, hypothetically, be on base a ton for those guys behind him. So I'm with you. I think the offensive fit, and also, look, they needed a DH. Once Manny is pretty much playing third base every day, and this, you know, I think on a lot of days it's going to take care of that. So I think it's a really, really great fit. And one more point on Arise. And you alluded to it earlier. I heard from a lot of Marlins people I know that this guy is top of the line as far as a human.
Same.
Like the best teammate, like great. I mean, unbelievably great stuff. And I'm not just saying that. That's what I heard, and it sounds like you heard the same thing.
I got it from the horse's mouth, my friend. Yes.
Hey, yes. From a clubhouse
perspective. Very handsome horse.
A thoroughbred. A thoroughbred, if you will. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a great fit.
Standard mule.
Yeah, great fit.
So, Sammy, before you go, our tier ones are amazing. I'm looking in the chat. I know Jesse does the incorporator on Tuesdays. We've never asked you to do an incorporator during a pre- or post-game show. But they want to hear Jake Schoenenworth and Jurik Schoen Profar.
Oh.
Somehow in the broadcast tonight.
Okay.
Jake Schoenenworth.
I think Schoenenworth works a little bit better. So
I like Jurik Schoen Profar.
Of course you do. Because it's the least funny of the two options.
Jake. Loving that we can now get Sam Levitt on the YouTube stream for the pre- and the post-game show. You got your Eco Water SoCal pre-game show coming up at 3:40 today. Padres and Cubs, 4:40 first pitch from Wrigley Field, the hallowed grounds. I've been to Wrigley, and Woods, I know you've been to Wrigley. Paulie, you're going to ever been to Wrigley Field?
No, I have not been to Chicago at all. Yeah. It's top of the list.
Definitely
cities around the country I'd love to visit.
Yeah, definitely a bucket list type ballpark to visit. Sammy's got the pregame show for you later. We'll talk with Sammy Levitt right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. On your way to work, want to keep listening to us even after you park your car? You can do so with the Odyssey app, odyssey.com. Just download the app, visit us, search 97.3 The Fan, click on our show, download the Odyssey app today to get started. And we are joined right now by one of the hardest working men in radio baseball world. It is Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. Greetings from Pacific Beach. And one conversation topic I would really like to hear on an upcoming show, maybe during a foreplay. Have you ever had a good breakfast scone? I don't know about you. I've never had a great scone. I
was scones thinking don't about exist. Getting a no. Good
no,
scones don't
yeah,
exist.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-mm. Okay.
I got an idea.
Good to know. I'm with you.
Grab yourself. Go into your pantry. Get the biggest spoon you have. Dig it deep, deep, deep into your bag of flour. Then sprinkle some blueberries on top, wolf the whole thing down, and you've just eaten yourself a breakfast.
You guys have not gone to a really good pastry place because
a
good scone.
I've been to England. I've been to Paris.
A good scone is delicious. It's not as sweet as some of the other pastries. If you're just looking for a sweet pastry, don't get the scone. But if you're looking for like some buttery crumbliness, it is delicious.
It doesn't exist.
It's better with a little coffee or a tea, perhaps.
Nope.
Like they eat it in England. But I am a fan of scones.
I've been to England. The scones there were terrible.
It's you just don't like scones.
Flowery.
No, you just don't.
Oh, here's what you do. Wad up 6 pieces of Wonder Bread. Sprinkle some sugar on top. Jam some blueberries in there. Shove that whole thing in your mouth. And that's what you get. You get a scone. Okay? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Why get scones when you can get a croissant or a biscuit? That's my motto.
All right, let's move from scone talk to baseball talk. So what was the timeline like on Friday in terms of the game, your show, and the trade news coming down, Sammy?
Never a dull moment, Sammy.
No, never a dull moment with the Padres and A.J. Preller. They do keep it interesting. The timeline for me on Friday was I had the news broken to me by Jesse and Tony. Jesse and Tony talked about it on the air right before the game started. The news came down during that 10-12 minutes between my pregame show and the game starting. So actually the first time I heard of it was actually from Jesse on the air as that broadcast started. And then obviously the reports came down on social media and all that, and we were following it. So, yeah, I kind of found out right with everybody else and found out live on the air. And I think Jesse and Tony broke it to a lot of people because of the odd timing of it on a Friday night on May 3rd of all times to make a trade like that.
It was amazing. I mean, it happened right before the Seals game, Sammy, and I was a wreck. I mean, my phone was going crazy. The Seals game's about to start, playoff game, and I'm a wreck. And I'm looking at this thing, and of course, you know, like we always say, you get the big guy, Arise coming back, and then you got to wait to see what the return was. And then you saw the return trickle in, and then Marcy was added later, and that's all one component. You're like, oh, okay, well, right. There's a few players going back. Oh, I can't believe he got rid of Woosuck Go. And wow, good for him. And then the news comes in that the Marlins paid down, you know, his salary for the year. And that, to me, is really what put it over the edge. I was really stoked on it before.
Yeah.
Then you realize you're paying Luis Arraez $600,000 to play for you this year. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. And I think Peter Bendick's just got a nice little warm welcome to the big leagues from A.J. Preller. That's legitimately how I feel. Arraez could go 0 for his next 12. I'm still going to feel that way because the guy's been unreal.
Yeah, I really like the trade all the way around for all the reasons you mentioned. I think, number one, focus on the player the Padres are getting and the fit he is in that lineup in particular, somebody that you can bat lead off that solves on most days the DH problem, obviously can play second base, can play some first base as well, so you can play in the field. But I think on most days, will likely when Manny's playing third base each and every day, is going to be this team's DH. And that was going to be a problem and a question that needed to be answered once Manny took that third base spot mostly every day. And this really answers it. And obviously you can cycle other guys through there. So it answers that question. From a fit in the lineup perspective, he's somebody we know what we're getting, right? I mean, somebody who's going to hit in the 300s in all likelihood, get on base, and as long as the guys behind him do what they're supposed to do, I think lengthens this lineup and creates more runs for this lineup, no doubt about it. And I think in the bigger picture of the trade on who they gave up, the Padres give up talent, of course, okay? Dylan Head is young, but obviously has a tremendous skill set and was a first-round pick for a reason a year ago. Marcy, somebody they were high on, as we know, gave him a look during spring training. Martorella could end up being a pretty good major leaguer. And, you know, the fact that AJ was able to attach Yusuke and the contract to this deal, I thought was, you know, a really important part of it. And obviously the other side of the other financial part of it. When I heard that, I think Alden Gonzalez of ESPN was the first one to report on it, that the Marlins were going to pay the bulk of the salary. I halfway couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, wow, so they ended up getting a player like Arise and somehow reducing payroll and not taking on significant money at all. And it frees them up to make additional moves if they are in contention, and still gives them an avenue to improve this team. So, you know, look, I think, and I was talking about it on a podcast yesterday, I think for a lot of people that looked at the Padres in the offseason and saw them trade Soto, saw them reduce payroll the way they did, they then look at the moves to first acquire Cease and then Arise and say, well, what are the Padres doing? Which direction are they going? Are they promoting from within? Are they, you know, building through their farm? You know, or are they still spending money? Are they still, quote unquote, going for it? And I think you can do those two things simultaneously. Yeah. AJ Preller, to his credit, has built a system, rebuilt a system where you have the luxury to make a move like this, but still maintain top of the line position playing prospects. And you didn't touch your pitching prospects, which you may need here in the not too distant future. So, you know, to have the ability to do that, to continue building through the farm, not totally gut your system, but also acknowledge that because of the money you've spent, because of the stars that are here, and the potential of this current group, if you can just get there into the dance, what you could do, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal. And I think the moves for Cease and now Arise continue to do that, and no doubt they are a better team and offense with Arise than they were before. So all the way around, I really, really liked that I did.
Talking to Sammy Leavitt, and the trade also led to a viral moment on social media when Padres prospect Nathan Martorella was actually on second base for the San Antonio Missions when the trade kind of came down officially and had to be confusedly removed from the game. Now, Sammy, you've called a lot of minor league games. How often were you involved in like hug watches and when guys were actually pulled from the field because they were being sent to a different team's minor league organization like that?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Now, I didn't have an experience like my friend Steven Davis did, and I the San Antonio Missions broadcast crew as well. They were on the road, and I actually got to know one of their I know both of their broadcasters there. I haven't really talked to them about it, but the home broadcaster in Little Rock, Steven Davis, is somebody I know really well. I haven't quite talked to him at length about it, but Steven, I thought, did a great job sort of describing what was going on. And what a surreal video, right? I mean, you could tell Martorella had no idea what was going on. I've seen a couple of those things, not quite as dramatic and as a viral worthy as that. I mean, I'm thinking about like when I was in Corpus Christi in 2017, I think, when the Astros made the trade for Justin Verlander, the first one, before they won the World Series. Or was that 2018? I can't remember now. But when they made the initial trade for Verlander, there were a couple of guys from that Corpus Christi team that went to Detroit, and one of them was a pitcher that we had at the time. But again, it wasn't as dramatic as like it was during the game. That was more during the day. I saw the other side of it, you know, when the Padres made the trade with, and they acquired Taylor Trammell, And Trammell came over, and he was immediately one of the team's top prospects. I remember, you know, Trammell showing up to Amarillo and being inserted into the lineup that night. And you know, kind of, I remember talking to Taylor initially, and, you know, the only organization he had ever known was the Reds, and kind of, you know, how surreal that was for him at the time. And so I remember stuff like that. But I, you know, I've seen a little bit of it, but nothing as dramatic as literally pulling a guy off second base. So, yeah, that was. You know, hey, I'm for those guys. Look, it's tough in the moment, but I think no doubt, you know, in the grand scheme of their careers, they got a better chance of probably making the major leagues and sticking there with the Marlins than they do the Padres right now. So for them, it ultimately, I think, is a pretty good thing for those guys.
Sammy, I want to go back to Arise too, because I. When you mentioned all the prospects that the Padres still have, I'm looking at their prospect rankings right now, and you still have Ethan Salas, Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko, Leodalis DeVries, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, still a prospect. Yeah. I mean, again, Ryan Burgert, Homer Bush Jr., Randy Vasquez. I mean, these are all names you're hearing a lot. Some of these guys could potentially help you this season. Jackson Wolf, another guy they reacquired, Alec Jacob. I mean, these are all names we know. These are not like single A guys that aren't going to be able to help this year. What I really like the most about this deal, and I saw somebody make this point on Twitter, Luis Arraez, you can't add him to every team and him help. He is it's a good fit here in particular for what we were looking for. And also, like you heard Profar, as Ben mentioned earlier, Profar was so happy. He's like, good, I love hitting fifth. This is great. Yeah. Like it's the first time ever when guys have come in and said, no, this is great. I'm happy for this. You don't get the sense
we'll make it work.
Not that we'll make it work.
We'll figure it out. They're like, genuinely like, this is perfect, what we needed.
It didn't feel like you're jamming a square peg in a round hole, as so many trades, not only with the Padres, but so many trades with other teams do. You're like, did you need him? Where is he going to play? How's he going to do that?
Right.
Oh, you're going to stick him out in left and see how it works? I mean, we had Adam Frazier out there playing left field at one point. That one didn't make sense. There were so many that have happened that didn't. This one just makes sense. Now, he's got to do his job, and his job is to hit and get on base. It puts pressure on Tatis and Manny and Crony, and those guys, they've got to drive him in. I mean, but it's such a good fit here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, on a team, let's say, where they didn't have as much power in the lineup, as much pop, then you might look at it and say, well, how much better does this really make
Correct.
You from a run-producing standpoint? But the Padres have that. And if the guys do what they're supposed to do, the guys in the middle of that lineup, no doubt having Arraez in front with the bat-to-ball skills he has, the ability to get on base, it lengthens the lineup, and he should, hypothetically, be on base a ton for those guys behind him. So I'm with you. I think the offensive fit, and also, but they needed a DH. Once Manny is pretty much playing third base every day, and this, you know, I think on a lot of days it's going to take care of that. So I think it's a really, really great fit. And one more point on Arraez, and you alluded to it earlier. I heard from a lot of Marlins people I know that this guy is top of the line as far as a human.
Same.
Like the best teammate, like great. I mean, unbelievably great stuff. And I'm not just saying that. That's what I heard, and it sounds like you heard the same thing.
I got it from the horse's mouth, my friend. Yes.
Hey, yes. From a clubhouse
perspective. Very handsome horse.
Very handsome horse. A thoroughbred. A thoroughbred, if you will. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's going to be a great fit.
Standard mule.
Yeah, great fit.
So, Sammy, before you go, our tier ones are amazing. I'm looking in the chat. I know Jesse does the incorporator on Tuesdays. We've never asked you to do an incorporator during a pre- or post-game show. But they want to hear Jake Schoenenworth and Jurik Schoen Profar.
Oh.
Somehow in the broadcast tonight.
Okay.
Jake Schoenenworth.
I think Schoenenworth works a little bit better. So
I like Jurik Schoen Profar.
Of course you do. Because it's the least funny of the two options. Jake Schoenenworth is fantastic.
Sammy, hopefully the Padres are going to face some tough pitchers in this series against the Cubs, and then the Dodgers coming to town. It'll be a big weekend up in the loft in the Western Metal Supply Company. Big week for Sammy. We'll talk to you a little bit later and hear from you in a few hours.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
buddy. There is Sam Levitt, our EcoWater SoCal Padres pre- and post-game show host, coming up this afternoon at 3:40 p.m. We have a lot of headlines from the weekend that Pauly could get to in the round report. I don't know if he's going to talk NBA playoffs, Kentucky Derby. We had local action, Seals. We had Wave. We had Mojo. We had Legion.
There My Dallas Stars winning a game
we
seven.
We had two game
yesterday.
Sevens in the NHL playoffs. And we also had something go on in the world of a rap that I think that Paulie's going to fill us in on as well. And
the world
of
rap.
I also want to get more into the Joe Musgrove injury.
Yeah. I've kind of been ignoring it.
Do you believe the always positive Mike Schilt? When he says, no big deal, it's precautionary. Would you ever believe him?
How could you possibly?
Would he ever say anything
negative?
How
could you possibly?
His arm could be gone. I have no idea. We'll get to all of it in our final hour next.